First, thanks for including me in this session. It's been a staple of S1 to have these great measurement sessions, and we see a lot of innovation going on, a lot of new high-tech things that are happening within our society, none of which I'm going to present today. But what I will give you is a taste of hopefully what can be done with simple measurements. And we sort of set out to look for some simple measurements that could be made that might be able to help in interpretation in a real problem. And we did this work, actually. The main person listed on this is Kelsey Waite. She's a high school student in Tucson, and a bunch of us were sort of taking on the project of trying to help her do some science and get some experience with science. So the problem that we started looking at is seawater intrusion. And probably all of you have seen this kind of classic picture of this saltwater wedge that's moving in at the coastline and affecting freshwater resources. And you've probably also seen these images of the impact of pumping, right? So as we're pumping freshwater resources near the shore, we're bringing in this saltwater wedge and therefore degrading the value of near or coastal community of water supplies. Now, I was surprised to find that there's this conference with a great acronym, SWIM, Saltwater Intrusion Meeting. They have it every other year, and they've already had 21 of these. So this has been a problem that they've been addressing for quite some time. And perhaps the soil science could learn something. These are always in fantastic locations, right? So if you can ever go to a SWIM meeting, it's probably a good idea. Now, monitoring seawater, if you actually go out to the well, it's actually a fairly simple thing to do, right? And it's important if we're going to see changes that are caused by pumping or by sea level change on the location of this saltwater interface. And because the electrical conductivity of saltwater is so much different than that of freshwater, there are these off-the-shelf instruments that you can troll down a well and actually monitor what the saltwater-freshwater interface looks like. And if you do this, or if you go to the literature and find other people who've done this, you find all sorts of these examples of what these freshwater-saltwater interfaces look like. And if you classify these sort of into general groups, you have some of them that are incredibly sharp, these real step-like changes in EC with depth. You have others that are more linear. You have this kind of linear change in EC with depth. And then you have some of these things that are anomalous. And some of these, like the one on the bottom, have to do with seawater actually overtopping the well. And then you see this saltwater infiltration. So you have these kind of three general types of saltwater interfaces. And the question we kind of addressed was, how can you characterize these interfaces? What information can you get out? And how can you do this in a sort of very simple way? This was inspired by what I thought was a really nice paper by Kim et al. In Groundwater in 2007. And they showed that if you simply place two piezometers down a well and use the shallow one to determine essentially the water table height, then with the deep one, the difference in these pressures, you can infer the saltwater-freshwater interface between these two points. So it was a really nice, again, a simple approach to monitoring something in real time. They had they were looking at these kind of step-like profiles, and the density in the freshwater saltwater was large enough that they could actually measure it. And there's this nice linear change between this pressure difference and the interface height, which as a measurement guy is exactly what you want to see, this nice linear change. When they did these measurements over some time, you could see these nice, very sort of high frequency changes in freshwater saltwater interface due to tides, and then you could see these longer term interfacial change, depth changes as well. Now, as I mentioned, Kim et al. Did this for these step-like interfaces. And for a step-like interface, it really makes sense to characterize where that interface is. When you start to get into these anomalous, we probably might as well forget it as far as making some simple measurements. And then if we look at these more linear changes, there's some question as to, you know, is all the information that we would want to have contained in this sort of midpoint of this slope of the location between the fresh and salt water. So we thought, well, you know, this is a really good way to measure this interface, but maybe there's another way that we could do this, taking advantage of this conductivity difference, and maybe we could just use simple resistance measurements between two points. So placing them at essentially the same locations you would have placed these piezometers, and then measuring this resistance between those two points. Again, for a step-like change, we thought maybe we can actually find this interface height, and even cheaper and easier than using piezometers. And in fact, if you think about it, you might as well drop four of these things down the hole, and you could actually monitor the freshwater resistivity and the saltwater resistivity, and then you could use the intermediate measurement to determine this this interface height. And sure enough, if you take the Kim type profiles and you look at this, by thinking of this in terms of resistance, again, you have this nice linear change with interface depth with the resistance that you would measure between these two middle electrodes. And then if you look at it, of course, this change in conductivity or electrical conductivity is massive, right? So, I mean, we should have some pretty good sensitivity as well. So it could, in some ways, replace or augment these pressure type measurements. Of course, then Marcus came along and said, that's great, let's actually measure it in the lab and let's do something with it. So he set up this really, really nice column experiment and made some so we can make some measurements on. And then Scott and Robert made this nice instrument to measure what we would see. So he displaced this freshwater with dyed freshwater with salt water, and then we could monitor this diffusion profile with time. And of course, in this case, the actual interface isn't changing with time, it's just diffusing around it. And we can model this very well, of course, it's a diffusion-like process. And it turns out that we can measure it quite well as well. The unfortunate thing is that this measured resistance, as we should have known beforehand, isn't constant in time, right? So this measured resistance is changing, and in other words, the apparent interface height is changing, because the resistance is a function of 1 over the concentration. So we have this skewing where we get this continual under-prediction of the depth of the saltwater interface if we use a simple resistance measurement. So this is where we were a couple of weeks ago, and I was sweating, and I was sure that Marcus was going to be sitting here watching me say that we failed miserably. But then we went back to these interfaces and sort of thought, well, do we have the same kind of problem when we start looking at these linear interfaces? And maybe something will come along and save us, essentially. And when we look at these linear interfaces, again, we have this case in the middle, we have a pressure-based interface. On the left, we have these different interfaces with different slopes on them, essentially the variation from salt to fresh. And on the right, again, as we saw with the diffusion case, we see this consistent under-prediction of the depth of the interface. The fortunate thing, it turns out, for these linear interfaces is that under-prediction is a linear function of the thickness of that interface zone. So what we're at least at this point thinking is that we might be able to use the pressure measurements to actually tell us the midpoint of that interface zone, and then simple resistance measurements to tell us something about how diffuse that zone is or how much it's spread. And this sort of feeds into some stuff that Jesus Carrera and others have done, looking at some of the big problems that we're having with saltwater interface models is that we're really fitting them to too poor a data set. So if we could actually have something that just enriches the data set with some fairly simple measurements, that might be quite useful. So the next step, of course, is to go to the next SWIM meeting and see if anybody has some need for this sort of thing. So I'm currently planning some kind of contest I could beat Marcus in so that I get to go to instead of him. And that sort of gets us to what we wanted to present today, but I'm also going to take a minute for a shameless plug if I have it at the end. And this is what I'm hoping is sort of one example of the kinds of things that this group and other groups like it can be doing, thinking about new kinds of measurements and new ways to apply measurements to give us more information about hydrologic systems, soil science systems, and how we can bring this groups of these measurement folks, in this case we're talking about geophysicists, but I think all of us could really qualify as geophysicists in many ways, bring geophysicists together with physical scientists to try to improve the way that we're using these indirect methods. So we actually, through QASI, which is this Consortium of Universities for the Advancement of Hydrologic Sciences, Inc., we have this thing called the Hydrogeophysics Facility, and we have money available to actually support geophysicists traveling out to help you look at your site and actually think about how you could use geophysics, excuse me, more effectively. So feel free to contact me about this, or you can just Google QASI HGP and it will pop up. So with that, if I left myself any time. All right.
Thank you. Is there an opportunity for questions on the presentation or on the second opportunity? Questions for our speaker?
Yeah.
All right.
Were these two-point measurements?
Yeah. Were they two-point measurements?
Yes.
It's a measurement between 2 points. So
between 2 points?
Yeah. It would.
So what about contamination of your probes?
Yeah, it's an issue, especially with with the probes just sitting in salt water, essentially, right?
What kind of probes were they?
In this case, it's simple metal rods, right? But they could be
stainless.
You could use stainless. You could use whatever you wanted, really. The idea was to have the downhole part very, very simple. So rather than having a piezometer sitting in this corrosive environment.
And frequency?
Frequency of measurement?
Yeah.
It's whatever you choose. I mean, you can measure so fast. You can measure this thing as fast as you want.
Was it AC signal?
I see. Yeah, it was a low frequency AC, I think is what Robert and Scott
fixed. Kilohertz?
Do you remember what it was? It was just something to avoid polarization.
It was four
kilohertz, something like that. Just some kind of low frequency. Again, trying to balance this, make it a simple, inexpensive, hopefully, instrument.
Contamination, obvious, maybe part of your explanation.
I don't think we would have seen it in our column work. I think if you place these actually in wells, you'd have to do some thinking about avoiding that. Good. Yeah?
What's the heterogeneity affect your result, like the layering and
within the well? Yeah, within the well. Yeah, there. I did recently see a paper that they're talking about this in-well flows, and actually mixing within the wells that can be an issue. I don't think that we would necessarily see heterogeneity effects within these wells, and it certainly doesn't show up in the profiles that we've seen in the literature so far. Mostly, I was just really surprised at the shapes of those profiles, that they're so linear. I just didn't expect to see that. Yeah, Danny.
So I didn't understand your comments about the. You're saying something like the weight of the measurements is different in the salty part versus the fresh part.
Right.
But you have continuity of charge migration. So, what do you mean by the weight?
The weight, because it's essentially what we're looking for. We're trying to fit a two-layer model of resistors to this diffuse profile. And even though you have continuity of mass, so the EC would be conserved, the resistivity isn't conserved because it's 1 over the mass. So in the low resistance area, when you have a small amount of mass entering a low resistance or low conductivity area, it has a big change on the resistance. Whereas if you lose that same amount of mass out of the high conductivity.
So the interpretation is geometrical and not
exactly right. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, that's the issue. Is a simple interpretation because you only have this one measurement, you have to assume a model to fit to it. So that was the main problem. So, good.
Anything else?
Thank you. All right. Thanks, Gerard.
Appreciate it.